Rebel Yell Podcast on the Trib Live High School Sports Network. We are here to salute our WPIL Softball Player of the Week. Now, I'm going to be perfectly honest. We could probably have this young lady on pretty much any week at any part of the season. And usually, if I know a team is going to be very good, I'll sort of kind of wait to sort of dive into those waters until later in the season, because there's only, once you get into late May and June, there's only so many district teams still alive. However, what Lexi Hames did this past week, I couldn't ignore it. So we just, you know, we that doesn't mean we can't have her on again, but Lexi, congratulations on all of your success, especially this past week.
Thank you so much.
Now, as you can see, Lexi, the pride of Seneca Valley, just one of the top pitchers, one of the top players in the WPIAL, and she's only an 11th grader. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, just starting off junior year, we're doing pretty well already. I think we're 8-0 now. So we've all been doing really, really good this year and starting off the season strong. So yep.
I will confirm that, 8-0. 5-0 alone in the section after a big, big victory last week. Before we get to that, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to do a little trivia with you. Are you up for some trivia?
Yeah.
Now, how good are you at Major League Baseball? Do you follow the product at all? Are you, you know, if I ask you a trivia question, kind of, okay. So this one you might know. Who has thrown the most no-hitters in Major League Baseball history?
I have no idea.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm not, like, good at, like, trivia with baseball. I kind of, like, follow it, like, during the season, but, like, I'm not good with, like, trivia.
Okay, now this is a guy who pitched before your time. He probably pitched maybe in your parents when they were young, because I was young. So I'll give you a hint. His first name is Nolan. His second name is Ryan. So who has the most no-hitters in Major League Baseball history?
Nolan Ryan.
Very good. Well done. Well done. Here's the thing, and this is where I'm going with this. He also, along with Bob Feller, who was way before my time, has the most one hitters. Now, he threw 7 no hitters. That's pretty amazing. You'd agree with that, right?
Yeah.
He threw 12 one hitters. That means he came so close to a no hitter. I read, and I think it was the Norwin game, and you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
It wasn't last week. You had a no-hitter perfect game, whatever it was, until the 2-out seventh inning, and the girl from Norwin, I think, singled off you.
She did, yeah. I was going on a streak pretty well there, and then I kind of missed my spot and stuff, and it happens. It always happens, but you know, it's hard to.
Here's what I want to know, though. I mean, you have thrown. Do you know how many no hitters you've thrown in your high school career?
No,
it's a lot. Yeah. I don't know either, but it's a lot. and it happens so often that when that happens, you're so close to another no hitter, and they get a hit with 2 outs in the seventh. Does that bother you, or are you like, oh well?
Kind of like it happens. Oh, well, like it's going to happen even on your best day. Sometimes like you just miss your spot or miss a pitch or it doesn't spin right and they get a bat on it somehow. And, you know, it's kind of like, oh, well, your team's up. And you just get the next batter.
Yeah. The bottom line is the wins and losses, but the personal accomplishments, even though you don't keep track of them, which again is good. That's good for you. You know, because some people sit there, I have this and I have that and I have this and I have that. And
yeah. I hit 500 strikeouts after the Hempfield game and I had no idea I was even close.
That's amazing. we'll talk about the Hempfield game in a moment. Let's start at the beginning of last week. You guys played Mount Lebanon, a program that's, you know, scuffling a little bit. You guys were able to beat them 8-0. A no hitter for you. What stands out about that game for you and your teammates?
I think just the energy and stuff in the dugout and on the field, and also the pitcher that came in after me, Abby Calco, just the way she came in and just dialed in and finished off the game also with a no-hitter. And I think just the energy we had that game and the bats we had that game, I think that's what really stood out. Our defense was good as well. And we just really came out to play that game and started off our week strong. And I'm really proud of how we played that game and the energy we had as well.
Lexi pitches 6 innings of the 7 in, so it was a combined no hitter as you mentioned. Takes us to the showdown, the rematch of last year's championship game. This has become really one of the great rivalries, even though the schools are nowhere near each other. But with the success of Hempfield long before you even got to Seneca Valley, and the success of this Raiders program, especially since you've come to Seneca Valley, this has been a matchup that a lot of softball fans look forward to. You guys win the first meeting of the regular season in impressive fashion. Again, another no-hitter, 2-0 in favor of the Raiders over the Spartans. Let's get your numbers here. 7 innings, no runs, 1 hit, 18 strikeouts. Just phenomenal. What was working for you against a pretty darn good Hempfield team?
I kind of just worked over the fall and the winter and even last summer, really working on getting my rise ball to move at different levels. And I think that's what changed a lot from last year, because whenever we played them, I could only work at one level with my rise ball. It was kind of a newer pitch for me. Kind of came in at the beginning of freshman year, worked on it throughout the summer, throughout the winter. And I think this year what's different is I can work on throwing it at different levels in the strike zone, through the strike zone, kind of where their feet are at in the box. I can work on throwing it earlier or sooner and getting it to move earlier or sooner. So I think that's the biggest difference, and I think that's what really works for me. That entire game, I only threw 9 pitches that weren't rise balls. So I'm not sure how many pitches I threw that game, but that's kind of where I was working at, and I think that's what was working best as well. And I think also I had the ability to do and work on throwing that rise ball at different levels and all that kind of stuff, because the defense behind me this year has just been so energetic and amazing. And also the offense, our offense has come out, and the bats are really hot this year, and we're putting the bat on the ball at the right time, getting hits at the right time, capitalizing on runners on base and everything like that. So I think also I'm very comfortable and able to do the things I do because of the team that's behind me and the bats and the lineup. And also my catcher, I mean, my catcher knows how to take big energy moments and calm them down a lot. So I can settle in and feel comfortable and do my best as well. So she's committed to Seton Hill recently, this past year, Anna Calco, and she's a huge difference and a huge game changer, even behind the plate. Always getting blocks, always letting me pitch and throw my pitches with confidence, because I know that she'll get it wherever it goes, even if I miss it. So I think that's a big thing this year, and I think that all those components contributed to that game.
Great answer. The one thing I wanted to ask you about, if you could dive in a little further for those of us who are maybe aren't as familiar with the pitch low. You mentioned your rise pitch. You can now spot it at different levels. What do you mean by that?
So there's really 3 different levels that you could throw it at. It's kind of like ankle to knee, knee to chest, and then chest and up. And that's where I would like aim for now. Obviously, you're gonna have a little bit different starts and finishes. Like it may start at like the belly button or your chest and like go somewhere else. But that's kind of where I work. So like when I'm trying to get a strike, I usually aim for the knee to the chest area and kind of move it throughout there, inside and outside. And then I also, when I'm trying to look for that O2 swing and miss or something like that, trying to get it off the plate, I kind of go for chest and up, or I try to start it at the mid abdomen and go up and that kind of thing. So it really depends on the batter, but just working and where they're also in the box, like if they're up in the box, starting it higher, right, or lower, so, just stuff like that. And that's kind of where the three different levels mean.
That's amazing. Now you taught me something, because I'm thinking whenever I've heard the term, you know, rise pitch, I'm thinking of something that goes up and mostly is in the upper side of the strike zone. You're saying that you could throw that pitch even low. Does that, when you're changing that location, are you coming from different angles, or is your release point the same on all of them?
Release point and I guess release point is the biggest thing, just spinning it earlier or later. Maybe like my body will lean back a little further or something, but I kind of keep my body on the same plane and at the same place. And I feel like that's important and crucial within pitching, because it's hard to, whenever you're facing great teams like Hemfield, they're going to realize those things. So I think really picking apart where the pitcher's at and where their body position is very crucial in games like that. So I think it's very important to keep my body the same every time. So the release point's different, but that's also way later in my motion, so it's harder to pick up.
Oh, great explanation. A lot of young pitchers, hopefully, that are listening can learn. You mentioned your defense. Mm-hmm. I saw the number, 22 batters faced in the Hemfield game. You strike out 18 of them. I mean, they're probably getting their beauty sleep out there, taking a little nap, you know, in between. But in all seriousness, that makes their job a little easier. But maybe also, you know, I've always heard that in baseball and softball, when you have a pitcher who's not hitting the strike zone, walking a lot, the defense has a tendency to be flat-footed. When you're striking out everybody, you know, boom, 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 I would think that the defense wouldn't be as sharp. But you're saying, you know, when the ball is put in play, they're getting it done.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, any ball that gets in play, there's me. 90% of the time, anytime the ball gets put in play, they're always on their toes, always ready. I mean, we have a fantastic infield, and they're always ready to get a bunt when it's laid down or a pop fly. In right field during the Hemfield game, Kylie Stout had this amazing foul ball catch, and I mean, that just brought a lot of energy to the game and to the defense, and that they're always on their toes. They're always ready to make that play, always ready to get involved in the game. And I think that's a big thing for this season.
You could tell you're a coach's daughter, because you've mentioned the word energy several times, and that sounds like a coach talking. We need energy. We need energy.
Yeah.
Do you yourself get a little more pumped, whether it's butterflies, whether it's the, you know, adrenaline, whatever, when you're playing a team like Hemfield as opposed to playing, you know, somebody else, because of just how big those games are?
Yeah, I think our most important thing to bring to that game is, again, energy, and also to be dialed in and focused those games, and to make those strikeouts and capitalize on them and turn those into to gain more from them, I guess, like more energy from them, to capitalize on them through the line. Like, sure. take those strikeouts that we got in those innings and turn them and go into our hitting, so we can continue to hit and get, and even when we get a hit, even if it's a single, make that a big moment in the game. And so each time that we do something little or we do something big, it's the same. So it's a lot of energy from everybody at one time. And I think that's very crucial in those high energy games, because they're bringing their A game too. Right. I mean, they're bringing a lot of energy to the game as well. And I think like the momentum from those plays and each hit and that kind of thing is huge. Even swings and misses during an at bat, like those are also huge. And that's also going to carry momentum into the next batter, into the next pitch. And the same thing with hitting. I think that's very crucial in those games. And also taking, whenever they're having those big moments, taking a minute and calming down and coming together as a team and like just relaxing and getting the next pitch and the next ball that you're pitched, like as well as in your at bats. I think that's very important in those types of games.
Two no hitters this past week, several no hitters this year. Lexi Hames is becoming one of the most dominant pitchers, not only this year, but really, you know, when all was said and done, she may have one of the best and most dominant careers of any WPL pitcher. You've already made your commitment, even though you haven't finished your junior year yet. Going to Clemson, talk a little bit about that decision.
I mean, I love it there. I went on two other visits to Virginia and Penn State, and I had a couple, I had a pretty long schedule of visits after that. But as soon as I went to Clemson, I actually kind of had an idea. I already wanted to go there. I've went down there a couple times. My coach lives like 30 minutes from there. So we would go down for practice and then go to campus or something like that. And I went down there for camp sometime in the fall before September. And I just loved it there. I love the atmosphere there. I love the coaches there. I love the pitching coach and their philosophies. And I like their team pillars and that kind of thing. So I absolutely loved it there. I liked it at the other schools, but I just felt more at home at Clemson, and I just absolutely love it. So I had to make the commitment. I didn't make it very long after September 1st, I don't believe.
No.
Maybe a month after or something like that?
Let me see. Because I remember I texted you. And you had the Tigers colors with hearts. That's cute. Yeah, it was mid to late September. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and each year, they've only been a program for around 5 years now, and they were ranked in the top 10 last year, this year top 20. So they're always in those big rankings. They're always in those big games, and they're always a tough competitor. And the way that they can do that in only 5 years, when some programs have been around for longer, is just amazing to see and amazing to watch. So it's pretty cool to be a part of.
That's cool. Well, you know, you still have some stuff to do here on the high school level before you go.
For sure.
Create the magic down at Clemson. I was checking out your Twitter, and I saw a video that you posted of you in the weight room.
Yeah.
OMG. I mean, I don't even what you were the weight, and I have no idea how much weight it was, but I was stunned. I could get me and Chris combined, I don't think, could even lift that thing off the ground. That was like a small car you were lifting.
Yeah. Was it? I'm not familiar which video
it might. It was the one you lift. I mean, it was, you know, massive weights, and you lifted it to your knees and then dropped it.
It might have been a deadlift, maybe. It was like a special kind of bar.
Yes,
I know I have my max video on there. That was 405. So that might have been it. There's some RDL videos and stuff on there. So
whatever it was impressive. It was impressive. I said right then and there, if my car is stuck in a ditch, I'm not calling AAA. I'm calling Lexi, and she can come and just. That was impressive. You are a strong young woman, and kudos to you, because that doesn't, you don't snap your fingers, eat a bunch of Oreos and get it done.
No.
Like you said, this off season, you have really worked hard.
For sure. I think after that commitment to Clemson, just starting there and getting prepared for, getting prepared to go into Clemson and be ready and be able to go in freshman year is a big thing for me. So just really getting in the weight room and working hard is something that I've definitely been doing. Even during these hard game weeks, I'll go to the gym either earlier that day or something like that. And that also helps relax me, because that's something that that I found that is very relaxing to me. Okay. and that kind of thing. So just going in before games as well, I'll go in for like an hour or not, sometimes just 45 minutes, and just get a good workout in before games or something like that. So that's definitely been a game changer this season, I feel like, as well.
Cool. That's awesome. Kudos to you. A lot of hard work, the behind the scenes that people don't see, leading to your dominance on the diamond. All right, let's ask you some fun questions. We're going to start by asking you about driving. Last time we talked, okay, you were in the process of getting a permit. You now are an official driver. How is that going?
It's awesome. I passed my permit on the first try and my driver's license on the first try.
Well done. Well done.
I would say that I'm a pretty good driver.
All right. So are you still doing the 2 and 12? Or at this point, are you, you know, lay back, just, you know, barely able to see the road?
I feel like my seat isn't too far back, but I definitely do, like, the one hand on, like, the bottom of the steering wheel.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're confident.
I feel like I am.
You know what? I mean, to be honest with you, and I probably shouldn't say this because I don't want to send the wrong message to people, to drivers, because there are enough wild, wacky drivers out there. But it's not so much, you know, to me, it's not so much the position of, you know, 2 and 12 or whatever that is, or 2 and 10. 2 and 12 would be like this, I guess.
Yeah.
2 and 10. It's more just the focus. And nowadays, especially with the phones, it's easy to lose the focus. As long as you're focused, I think you're good.
Yeah. I have the same opinion on that. I kind of, like, I have Apple CarPlay in my car, so, like, I kind of just hook my phone up to that. So I can see, like, notifications, but it's, like, not distracting. So that's usually what I go for.
All right. Everything you just said, I have no idea what it means, but that's okay. That's okay. You and a lot of the other youngsters know what's going on. So, all right. So here are some of the questions I have for you this time around. What is the best, you know, we're talking about Clemson in college. What are some of the best things, or what is the best thing about Seneca Valley High School?
I feel like the community atmosphere, like athletes support athletes. That's a huge thing that we have. Like the baseball team will come and watch our games. Sometimes we'll go and watch their games and kind of all around for other sports. We have a club thing for that. It's called SALT, and it's just for student athletes on each team. We'll come together and say, like, you athletes are going to this game, or you athletes are going to, like, supporting each other all around, because I feel like that's very important within a high school, is for each athletic team or sports team to go out and support the other athletes who are also working just as hard as they are and performing just as well as they are, and that kind of thing. And just going out and really supporting every athlete. And I think that's a big thing that's really good at Seneca.
Yeah. And I think other schools do something like that, maybe not to that extent, mm-hmm. but I think that's great, because when I started doing this a long time ago, that there were, you didn't see that, and the fact that the community atmosphere, as you put it,
is
good.
Something else that's really nice is mental health for athletes, because all athletes struggle with it, I feel like, and Seneca Valley has a really, really good support system for mental health within athletics, and I think that's also a huge thing that I love about Seneca.
All driven by your outstanding athletic director, Miss Heather.
Yes.
Heather Lewis, who's, by the way, will be inducted into the Hall of Fame, the WPIO Hall of Fame this year.
Oh, yay. Yeah. That's so super exciting.
Next time you see her, congratulate her. You know who else is in the WPIO Hall of Fame?
No.
No. Okay.
See, my thing, I'm really bad at paying attention to things. Like, I like, sometimes before games, like, I feel like this is really bad to say, but I sometimes I don't know who we're playing that day, and I'll show up, and I'm like, oh, we're playing this person today.
Oh, their uniforms are nice.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that's something that I'm really bad with. Like, Yeah.
I've never admitted this before on a podcast, but last June I was blessed to be inducted into the WPIL Hall of Fame. So,
well, congrats.
Well, thank you. And when you are inducted in a few years, I will come to your induction. How's that?
Perfect. Thank All right. you.
And you can say, who is that? Oh, it's that guy. What are your fears? Is there something out there that you are afraid of, deathly afraid of?
Like within sports or just like in general?
No, just in life in general.
Oh, life in general, I'm deathly afraid of throw up. Like I cannot do throw up. I'm deathly afraid.
So
if anybody even says their stomach hurts, I run away. I think that's my biggest fear in life.
So you're not going to be a nurse. Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm majoring in business. I'm going as far away from that as I can.
Well,
and along with that, on like a more serious fear is kind of failure. That's probably my biggest thing. I mean, I'm a perfectionist, so everything has to be like perfectly in order, along with like game strategy and everything. Like everything has to be in a strategic order, and I like to prepare for that because I don't want to fail at like one thing or another, like within a game. So, that's the more serious fear. But
I'm not worried about that fear. Yeah, okay, you fear everyone fears that. Let's get back to the vomit. Now, have you ever thrown up in your life?
I have, but like a long time ago. Like I can't even remember the last time I did.
But so it's not so much you. I mean, if you were to get some sort of bug and unfortunately go through that, which nobody wants to go through that, it is what it is. But if somebody else is doing it, you are headed to the hills.
Yeah, okay. No, right. I cannot. I can't do it.
We know that vomit is not one of your skills. So how about, do you have any unusual skills that maybe that you have mastered, but maybe a lot of people don't know about?
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't have a ton of other hobbies besides softball. I think that's kind of like my biggest thing. So I'm not really sure if there's any.
Well, you're strong as heck, and that's
yeah,
a skill that
that's
a lot of people
skill.
Don't. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's a good skill. I can lift a lot of weight.
Yes. You can lift a small car. Yes. Okay. So do you get a chance to watch TV at all?
Sometimes.
All right. Is there a favorite TV show, whether it be now or maybe when you were younger, that you saw that you try to make sure you watch most of the time?
I think like it's kind of a really basic answer would be like Outer Banks, but I feel like if I'm going to watch TV, that's what I'm going to watch. I'm not really well now that softball's on. I've been like that's the only thing I've been watching. I bought like all the channels like ACC, SEC, like all that kind of stuff. Like, and even some teams now, like Texas, they have like their Longhorn channel or something. So like I have that or like that kind of thing. So I'll watch, like that's all I've been watching, but I'm a big like TikTok person, like just scrolling on TikTok. So
have you ever posted any TikTok, anything to TikTok?
I believe so. It's been about Clemson. I think there was one about on our visit to Clemson with like the four girls I was with, like our group, and then about my commitment to Clemson. So I feel like both of them have been about Clemson.
So you weren't doing any sort of, you know, no. Dance or anything? No. Okay.
Sometimes on like the story with my friends, but other than that, no, I don't.
Okay. Are you more into fruits, more into vegetables?
I would say fruit.
What's your favorite fruit?
Probably peaches or strawberries.
Peaches is underrated, isn't it?
I feel like they are.
Here's the thing. If you gave me an actual peach, I probably wouldn't eat it. But if you opened up a can of peaches, I would eat it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It does.
Maybe it's the syrup that it comes in. I have no idea. How about desserts? What's your favorite dessert?
I'm not sure. I feel like probably like ice cream of some sort. It's like a basic answer.
Okay.
Like cookies and cream ice cream would probably be my favorite dessert.
Do you prefer that in a bowl or in a cone?
In a bowl.
Okay. Anything on it? Like, not just, okay.
No.
Let's stay with the food theme.
Okay.
Chicken nuggets or chicken wings?
I feel like chicken nuggets if we're talking wings, they have to be boneless. I can't do bone-in wings. Okay. So, like, if we were doing boneless, like, wings, then I would choose wings. Which I feel like it's the same thing as, like, a chicken nugget, though.
Yeah, in a way it is, yeah. Who has the best chicken nuggets?
Probably Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, that seems to be the consensus.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong. Their chicken sandwich, too, or...
Yeah, that's what I usually get.
Top notch. Mm-hmm. Fries or tater tots?
Fries, but my favorite fries are sweet potato fries.
Well, who sweet potato fries? Who serves them?
Have you never had sweet potato fries?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah.
Where do you get them?
Certain restaurants serve them. I've had sweet potato tater tots as well. So
wow, are you serious?
Yeah,
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, they're whenever I travel during the summer to California and Colorado, they're like really big there. Mm. So
big out west. Do you like to travel?
I love traveling.
Where have you? Okay, here's a two-part question. Where would you like to go that you've never been? And where would you like to go back to that you have been and enjoyed it so much?
I want to travel internationally. One of my biggest places is Greece. I really want to go there. But my favorite place that I've traveled to so far is probably California. The Santa Monica Pier is so pretty, and I just love being there. And Laguna Beach. So those two places are I love it, and I would absolutely go back.
My oldest son is him and his gal went to Greece, and they loved it. So there you go, for whatever that's worth. And they are now getting ready to move to California.
Oh,
and I said, "Good riddance, good luck to you." I'm not sure I can handle a 6-hour plane ride.
The people in California are kind of questionable sometimes.
All right.
Not all people in California, just like some people.
Okay.
And their driving is also questionable.
All right. That's more than so, fair. Don't look for Lexi to get any job offers from the California Bureau of Tourists, but that's fine. That's okay.
But I personally love going there.
All right.
But
well, there you go.
Sometimes you run into people.
That's right. Some slim shady people. We'll just leave it at that. All right, Lexi, we appreciate it as always. It's so fun visiting with you. You've taught us some stuff, and just an incredible week. Two no-hitters, including one over one of the best teams in the district, the Hempfield Spartans. Mm-hmm. You guys will see again, and maybe even a third time in the WPIAL playoffs. Best of luck this spring. Stay healthy, young lady.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again.
All right. Talk to you again.
All right. Lexi Hames of Seneca Valley Junior headed to Clemson. And just, I mean, absolute dominant pitcher. And she's only a junior. So, and she, I mean, I never knew that you could locate the rise pitch so many different spots. And sounds like she's pretty much putting those pitches wherever she wants, and not much is being done to them. Let's take a look at the 6A and 5A standings, latest standings in the WPIAL. Starting 6A, Seneca Valley all by their lonesome now. In first place, 5-0. There's only one section in 6A. One game back in the loss column, three teams, Hempfield, Cannon McMillan, and North Allegheny are all a game back in the loss column behind the Raiders. 5A, Section 1, Shaler up one game over North Hills and Fox Chapel. Section 2, Penn Trafford, one game up on both Latrobe and Armstrong. West Allegheny is yet to lose in Section 3. They've only played one section game. Two teams are sitting at 2-1. That is South Fayette and Mars. Section 4 of Class 5A, everybody has at least one loss. There is only one game that separates the best team, the first place team, from the last place team. Bethel Park is 2-1. Upper St. Clair is 1-2. The other four teams, Trinity, Connellsville, Peters Township, Thomas Jefferson, are all 1-1. Pretty interesting stuff. We did 4A, we did 3A, we did 2A, we did Class A, our Team of the Week podcast in softball with Harry Rutherford of Elizabeth Forward. All right, that'll do it for this podcast. Thanks to Lexi Hames, a junior from Seneca Valley, our softball player of the week. Thanks to Chris Lackner, our producer. I'm Don Rebel. We thank you for joining us. And we ask those folks who are watching or listening to us in California to please forgive the youth of America. It's the Rebel Yell Podcast on the Trib Live High School Sports Network.